3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everyone, to this post-Turkey Day, post-holiday break, fall, Halloween, whatever season it is, episode of the No Normal Show, brought to you by Revive. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust. And we celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, and the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host, Stephanie Rearwell, EVP of Integrated Marketing here at Revive, and I'm joined today by co-host Chris Wickline, SVP of Strategy. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you post-Turkey Day?
Very full. Always very full. You know, it's the national holiday of cheese and butter, essentially. So,
yeah, and that's great for my state.
That's right. The economy of Wisconsin is booming.
That's right.
So we're going to keep it quick today, keep it brief as we do another News Flash by No Normal episode. So just a reminder, there's a lot happening. This every single day we wake up and we're like, oh, that's dramatic. That happened in healthcare. That happened in marketing. That happened in tech. And so we just wanted to cover some of those quick hit headlines in a fast way, bite-sized 5 to 10 minutes. So this is a bit of a short mini episode. And we are also continuing, of course, our longer, deeper dives as well. So today we have three headlines. Chris is first going to take us into a really exciting, deep, long, detailed, textbook-like report that we found about the healthcare world, and we'll give you some of those headlines. We'll talk about the reality show-esque drama that is OpenAI. And then we'll talk about some of the warning signs that continue to come out of Twitter/X. So that's our agenda today. So Chris, why don't you jump right in to the exciting treasure trove we found recently?
Yes, the Trillion Health Report. That moment when you see something in the news and it links to something so valuable that your stomach flutters and you get a little sweaty. And that is the 2023 Trends Shaping the Health Economy put out by Trillion. Every healthcare marketer should look at this. As Stephanie mentioned, it's a treasure trove of information. It's got some great detailed narrative supported by, get this, 147 different slides with rich, reliable data points. The theme is really around the trends that are either intensifying or emerging, revealing the importance of delivering value for the money when it comes to healthcare. There's 10 particular sections that make up the trend shaping the health economy. And I'll just highlight a few different things that kind of struck me, and then kind of some of the takeaways. So, you know, there's tons of data points. We could spend 10 minutes on this alone, but there was this the interesting finding around the decline in primary and preventative care. And I have to be honest, when I talk to clients, I don't necessarily hear this. What we hear is, you know, oh my goodness, access is a struggle. We're at capacity. But in reality, across a lot of large markets, we're actually seeing a decline in primary and preventative care, which is a big deal. A lot around the tepid demand trajectory. And I think the key takeaway is this idea that demand for key services is below historical industry expectations, which means this is going to hit us harder yet. At the same time, you don't see some of our hospitals, you know, the number of hospitals is remaining the same, right? So Stephanie, what does that mean? The number of hospitals stays the same, demand is declining, and oh my gosh, what happens?
Ooh, we love a test. Well, let's go back to economics, right? Supply stays the same, demand decreases. So what happens? Competition heats up. More fierceness in each market.
Yeah, I mean, the big deal is that everybody is going to be going after smaller and, you know, smaller volumes, right? Kind of the dog-eat-dog of healthcare gets even worse. So, you know, a few things that really come to mind is this idea of consumer demand, right? So measuring share of care of, you know, consumers of a household is going to become even more critical. They in the report highlight how consumers, we're seeing more consumer-like decision-making come into play. So as healthcare marketers, we have had a historical focus on driving demand. Let's do service line marketing. And brand really kind of takes a back seat. We've talked a lot about that in our podcast. You know, there's so many implications to this report, but what really kind of struck me is gosh, brand is going to become even more important in an environment where people have more choice, where there's more folks going after limited services. So I think, you know, that's the key takeaway for me as a marketer. There's so many other things you can put your spin on. I'd encourage you to take a peek at it.
Love that. It's so fun when we stumble across these kind of deep dive bedtime reading reports. Just the nerds around the Slack water cooler get all excited. And so that's what happened the last couple of days. So we'll link it in our show notes and you all can take a look as well and jump in and let us know what your reactions are. Thank you for that, for the awesome summary though, Chris. So we'll go on to our next headline here, which is not new news. If you've been, you know, turning on any channel of any kind, whether it's Twitter or LinkedIn or, you know, your favorite news, you've seen the OpenAI drama. It is truly a reality show. It is truly wild. So we'll just very quickly sum up what happened, and then we'll get into a little bit of, you know, what we think it means, at least in our space. But, you know, what happened was over the last days, really, weeks, one of the OpenAI board members co-wrote a paper that was really critical of OpenAI and lauded Anthropic, which is one of their competitors. Sam Altman, the CEO founder of OpenAI, was like, wait, what's up with this? You're a board member. Why are you supporting a competitor publicly? And so there was a bit of a back and forth. And ultimately, the board ousted Sam Altman, leading to a flurry of questions and challenges and news headlines, because of course Sam Altman has been the one of the main drivers of the generative AI movement. And then there was a lot of back and forth, you know, drama about, is this effective altruism versus effective acceleration, which are two really big communities in AI, one that's all about AI safety and the other one that's all about pushing AI forward. We won't get into the depths of that right here. We could go back and forth on that for a really long time. But one interesting thing that happened was Microsoft's Satya Nadella tweeted that they remain committed to partnering with OpenAI, because a lot of questions came up about what does this mean for Microsoft's $13 billion investment, which is already showing up in their products. So that was all the drama that was happening. You know, so much conversation. There was even rumors that Sam would join Microsoft. And then, boom, Wednesday morning, right before Thanksgiving, OpenAI announced that Sam was back. So that's a 30-second kind of where we've been over the last couple weeks. But there's a lot of implications here. First of all, there's a lot of discussions about what does this mean for OpenAI moving forward? What does this mean given that, you know, the board had said that, you know, Sam wasn't being truly honest and forthcoming? What does this mean for all the many startups happening in the AI world at the moment? There's just a lot of outstanding questions here, and a lot of outstanding questions on, is OpenAI, you know, in a place to keep moving things forward at the speed of which they have been. So I'll just stop right there. Chris, you want to jump in with some of your takeaways?
Yeah. I mean, what I didn't realize is that when OpenAI was formed in 2015, it was actually formed as a nonprofit, and it was based around a governance structure that was really around kind of advancing, these are my words, advancing kind of the technology in a responsible way, and in kind of, again, a nonprofit kind of safeguarding the world. At the same time then, or after that rather, came a for-profit arm of OpenAI, enter all the investors. And it seemed like, again, the conflict in that board was around kind of their nonprofit mission, perhaps. This is the hypothesis of some, versus the for-profit, you know, motives of advancing the technology in a quicker and more rapid way. And of course, all of the investors. So you talk around the Slack water cooler, we're saying, wow, what's the impact of this drama on not just the company, but the real or perceived stories that are going to come out of this that cause people to kind of question AI, get concerned about AI, make it into the regular world, right? That really kind of distracts the focus and creates kind of more safety concerns. So I think it's just so fascinating about an industry that's evolving so rapidly that we can't even wrap our brains around it. And all of the Monday morning quarterbacking that's going to be going on over the next several months on what really was behind all of this and what the implications are.
Yeah, it's a big moment that will likely go down in the AI history books, right? Like one day when we read the history of AI and how it came to be. I mean, this is a pretty big moment. And it's a big moment because, to your point, there's still this growing question of what is the goal and the purpose of continuing to accelerate AI. You know, OpenAI has, you know, largely been discussing like the possibility of AGI, of artificial general intelligence, and what does it mean when we get there, and how do we get there in a safe way, in a responsible way? And now there's these questions about, is it being responsible? And so all this back and forth, and it's like, to your point, you know, is this all about profit and making money? Is this about helping humanity? Is this about progress? Like, those are the kinds of questions that are constantly coming up. And then you still have, of course, the doomsayers that are really raising these red flags. So it's quite a big moment we're in. Okay. Well, that was, 2 minutes on something that we could certainly talk about for hours. But we'll hit our last point here, which is, again, drama, more drama. Elon Musk, he's always out there doing things that are really, really questionable and really challenging. So Twitter/X, recently, in the last few days, advertisers have started again pulling ad dollars from X. And what happened was, it's not the first time this has been, unfortunately, the conversation, but Musk backed an anti-Semitic post. I won't read it. It's not pleasant. But there was an anti-Semitic post on Twitter/X, and Musk responded with a tweet that said, "You have said the actual truth." And in response, activists, including 164 rabbis, upped their call to advertisers like Apple and Amazon and Disney and others to stop advertising on X. For obvious reasons, but there's also, in addition to moral and ethical, reasons here, ads are showing up next to posts like this. And so Apple was one of the first to pull out. So it just, it's just an ongoing saga of, you know, as a brand, should you be on Twitter? Should you be advertising specifically as opposed to organic? Should you be putting ad dollars behind Twitter and X? And at Revive, we've not changed our stance on this for some time. It feels like a year now of, we would recommend, certainly having lots of internal conversations about it, but really would not recommend advertising on Twitter at the moment. Organic is something that, if there's lots of customer service discussions, lots of, questions coming from customers, you don't want to abandon them, but just be really careful about your activity on this channel. And that's been the recommendation for months. And I don't think it's changing anytime soon. Anything you'd note about this one, Chris?
No, man, proceed at your own risk. If you do. Wow. Sounds dangerous.
Very. Yeah. It's a lot. It's unfortunate. Especially just because Twitter was a place where movements arose, where people could speak out, where, progress was made for society. And ever since Musk took over, it's really just become even more of a wasteland. So, okay, well, we're ending on kind of an unfortunate point, but we'll wrap up that show here on this post-turkey Monday morning. Hope everyone had a wonderful holiday break. Thank you so much, Chris, for being here.
Of course. Thank you, Stephanie.
And for everyone listening, thanks so much for joining in. If there's something you want us to cover, if there's a headline you see, if you want to shoot us your opinion on something, if you disagree with something we shared, we'd love to hear all of it. Shoot us an email at nonormal@reviveagency.com. And make sure you share the show with friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes. And until next time, don't be satisfied with that normal. Push the no normal, y'all. See you in a few days or weeks or whenever the most wild headline next pops up. 3